I mean, what he does is he gives gifts to us. And sometimes he gives us these amazing things, and then he puts things in our lives that keep us from getting too proud. Is there something that you wish could change in your life? Do you wish that you were more beautiful? Do you wish you were more handsome? Do you wish that you had certain qualities that other people have and you don't have it? Well, maybe it's better we don't have that. This is what the training of God does. He allows things in our life, and he says, I am content. And this is why we train ourselves with the Word of God, to learn to pick up the Word of God and make it your daily meditation. What if you knew that somebody put before you something that would guarantee you profit in your life, that would guarantee you something much richer than money, that would guarantee you something beyond what you could ever ask or think, as the Scriptures put it? This is what I put before you today. Will you take this Word of God and make it your meditation? We are in Isaiah chapter 48, and we have covered verses 1 through 8 last time. And today we are starting at verse 9. For the sake of my name, I delay my wrath, and for my praise, I restrain it for you. In order not to cut you off, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned, and my glory I will not give to another? Listen to me, O Jacob, even Israel, whom I called. I am He. I am the first. I am also the last. Surely my hand founded the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand together. Assemble all of you and listen. Who among them has declared these things? The Lord loves him. He will carry out his good pleasure on Babylon, and his arm will be against the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Indeed, I have called him. I have brought him, and he will make his way successful. Come near to me, listen to this. From the first, I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, and your offspring like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from my presence. Okay, we're going to just stop there. In verse 9, what he does, you know, God could have annihilated them for their idolatry, but he didn't. And the question is, why didn't he? And he tells them in verses 9 through 11, he tells them why he didn't do that. And number one, Yahweh has a covenant with them. He talks about that in verse 9. He has a covenant with them. And this is in perpetuity with the children of Israel. So he is not going to cut them off. In verse 10, it was for Israel's refinement, to refine them by going through a fire. That's what happens to us. He allows things in our lives to refine us. The major refining for them is not going to come until the 7-year tribulation, and that is the final refining that is going to bring about a national regeneration of Israel. And that is spoken about, and that is prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 33 through 38. But then he goes on. Another reason why he didn't destroy them is in verse 11. The reason he didn't destroy them is that if he had destroyed them, the Gentiles would have credited that destruction to their own idols. And he wasn't about to let that happen. So that's the three reasons why he didn't destroy them for their idol worship. One, because of a covenant. Two, he used it as a refining time. And number three, he wasn't going to allow these idols to get the glory. We will come back to this attitude of refinement. And then in verse 12, he starts talking about God is speaking 5 points regarding his control as God. 5 points. Number one, he's the God of eternity. When he says, "Listen to me, O Jacob, even Israel, whom I called, I am he, I am the first, and I am also the last." Second, he's the God of creation. He says in verse 13, "Surely my hand founded the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens when I call them, and they stand together." Then what he goes on to is he starts speaking about that he's the God of prophecy, he talks about how he's the God of prophecy. And then he says, "Assemble all of you and listen. Who among them has declared these things? The Lord loves him. He will carry out his good pleasure on Babylon, and his arm will be against the Chaldeans." So then he speaks about, again, he reminds them of what's happening with Cyrus, how Cyrus, and that this is the last mention of what he's going to do with Cyrus. And then he talks about how he is also the God of Trinity. Of the Trinity. In verse 15, he says, I have spoken. Indeed, I have called. I brought him, and he will make his way successful. Come near to me. Listen to this. From the first, I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. Now listen to this sentence. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. So this is speaking, you have the Father mentioned, you have the second person of the Trinity, you have the Son, and then you have the Spirit. You have all three of them mentioned in this one verse. You have God the Father speaking, you have God the Son speaking that he has been sent, and then you have the Spirit being mentioned. So you see this allusion to the Trinity. Again, Trinity is not a word that's used in the Scriptures, but it's just a word that's easily coined to describe what we are talking about, how this Godhead is three persons. Then in verse 17, he says, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit." He is God who teaches us to profit. And if you think that is in your finances predominantly, you're probably wrong. There's something far more rich than your finances. When you have a knowledge of the Lord, when you able to spend time in his presence, there's something so much greater than thinking about the finances. He says, "I'm the one who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, and your offspring like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from my presence." You know, this is the promises that he had given them. He said, if you only took hold of what I have for you, it would be so rich in your life. We're gonna follow along that theme, but let me just bring you back to verse 10 of this portion, Isaiah 48. "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." God allows things in our lives for our own good. I want to read a portion from the Apostle Paul, what the Apostle Paul said about his own life. Here's what he said about his own life in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 onward. He says this, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself." So Paul had just described in this portion in 2 Corinthians how God had given him this amazing revelation about himself. He was taken up, and God himself, Jesus, instructed Paul. After Jesus had already risen from the dead, he appeared to Paul. Paul talks about that. And he went away, and God instructed him for a period of years. God instructed him. And he says, because of the surpassing revelations, God gave me so much. He says, for this reason, because God has given me so much, for this reason, for what reason? Because he had been given so much revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. God allowed Satan to do something to Paul to torment Paul. It tormented him to keep me from exalting myself, Paul writes. So he says twice in this one sentence, he says, to keep me from exalting myself. And again, he says, to keep me from exalting myself. Paul is underscoring something. God allowed things to come into Paul's life to keep him from exalting himself. And this is something that God does. God allows things in our lives. I mean, what he does is he gives gifts to us. And sometimes he gives us these amazing things. And then he puts things in our lives that keep us from getting too proud. Is there something that you wish could change in your life? Many people think that with Paul, that it was a disease that he had, particularly in his eyes. And the reason for that is he talks with these people of how they, that you would have plucked out your own eyes for me. You were with me when I was sick and you would have plucked out your own eyes for me. We don't know exactly what the thorn was. That's something that people presume it was. But what he says is to keep me from exalting myself. Think about yourself. Do you wish that you were more beautiful? Do you wish you were more handsome? Do you wish that you had certain qualities that other people have and you don't have it? Well, maybe it's better we don't have that, because we might well become too proud. Wouldn't it be great if I were the best looking person in the world and I walked in and everybody's was just enamored with me? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah, that would be wonderful for me for about a nanosecond, and then it would destroy me. Then it would destroy me. And wouldn't it be great if I could walk in a room and I were the light of the party? All eyes were on me. You meet some politicians that are like that, some people that are like that, and you think, wow, I wish I could be, a more dynamic person like that person. Well, God has given me quite enough. He really has. And God has given each of us the qualities that we need. He's given that to us.
If you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, send me an email, tour@drjamestour.org, and we will get together. And I will share with you about why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus.
Now he goes on, Paul goes on, he says, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. So Paul prayed three times. He says, Lord, take this from me. And God said, concerning this, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. What I have for you is sufficient for you. He says, for power is perfected in weakness. It's actually the weaknesses that you have that give you all the more power, because it causes you to depend all the more on me. Think about the weaknesses in our life. It causes us to depend all the more on him. He says, your weakness is actually for perfecting. So here's Paul's response to that. Paul's response is this. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So he says, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. It's actually the weaknesses that I have. It is actually these weaknesses, he says, that makes me stronger, and the things that I boast about. He says, so I'm well content. I am content with the weaknesses. I am content with the way God has given me, Paul said, the way God has made me. I am well content with weaknesses, with insults. He's well content with insults. Think about the guy who can walk in a room and all eyes are on him. Where all the women in the room are like, whoa, that man. Do you think that man can bear insults? Probably not. Paul, it says, I am well content. I am content. Content means just comfortable. I am comfortable with insults, he says. This is what the training of God does. He allows things in our life. And he says, I am content with insults. You start getting a social media presence, and there's going to be a lot of people who hide behind the anonymity of their keyboard and say all sorts of things. And he says, I am well content with insults. And the things that people say about me on the internet, it makes me stronger. It makes me a better person. It does. I read these things, I'm like, wow, this person's really upset with me. They don't think much of me. And it says it makes me better. He says, I'm well content with insults. Content means I'm good with this. I'm comfortable in this. With distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong, he says. When I am weak, then I am strong. He talks about in Isaiah how he allowed them. He allowed them to go through things. He says, I have refined you. I have tested you. This is refinement. This is testing. And then as we come into this, we understand more and more about what God is doing. And now I want to continue on this thought, but with it just from a little bit different vantage point. In verse 17, he says, for thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. I was talking with one of my former students yesterday, one of my former students from the university, and he was moving into a certain position, and he was asking me my opinion on things. And I said, look, my life is different than your life. I can give you a list of things, and I can show you what I did in my life, how I ordered my life, and you can take or leave these. But there's one thing, only one thing, that I really think that you would do well that you shouldn't compromise on. I only put before you one thing. If you want people to do well in something, if you want people to really pick something up and begin to change their lives, don't give them a list of 25 things. Don't do it. Nobody can fulfill 25 things. I would suggest you don't even give them a list of 10 things. It's very hard to do 10 things. I don't even like to give a list of 3 things. I want to give one. I said, I have one thing that you should not compromise on. And I said, that's your morning time, every morning getting in the scriptures. Every morning being in the scriptures. Every morning in the Word of God. Just you and the Lord. And what he said to me is, yeah, I hear you. I have those times. You know, sometimes I'll pick up a book and read it. Sometimes I'll listen to something on YouTube. I'm like, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. It's not a time for another book. You have plenty of, you have 24 hours in a day. 23 of them, do your other book. Spend time with the Lord. In his word, that means the Bible, his word, you and his word, not a bunch of commentaries. Commentary can just give you the lay of the land and then put it away. And open up the book and spend time with God. Let him begin to speak with you. He says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. So in other words, when he teaches us to profit, what does he mean by that? Does that mean so that we can just have lots of money pouring out of our pockets? No, he says to lead you in the way that you should go. He says in verse 18, he says, it's for your well-being, for your well-being. It's for your being, not for your wallet, but for your being. So that your righteousness would be like the waves of the sea and your descendants would have been like the sand. It will affect your descendants. You know where the battle is? The battle is in our mind, always. Always, the battle is in our mind. Courage starts first in the mind. It starts first in the mind. The scriptures say this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It starts in the mind. It says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as a man thinks within himself, so he is. As a man thinks within himself, so he is. If we always view ourselves as defeated, we will be defeated. It says the children of Israel, when they went into the promised land, they saw a lot of big men. These were just little Jewish guys. And they had to go into this promised land with these Gentile Canaanites. And they saw a lot of big people there. He says, when we looked at them, he says, we were grasshoppers in our own sight. We looked at ourselves like grasshoppers compared to these big guys. And so we were in their sight. In other words, because I looked at myself like a grasshopper, like one who is defeated, so I was defeated in their eyes. It all starts in my mind. And this is why we train ourselves with the Word of God, to learn to pick up the Word of God and make it your daily meditation. You take a verse in the passage that you're reading, something begins to speak to you. Write it down on a piece of paper and look at that paper throughout the day and bring that to your memory. Make that verse your memory. What did God do with Joshua? Joshua was going to go into the land. Moses was committing the charge to Joshua. God had already told Moses, it's over for you. Joshua's going to take over. He's going to take the people into the land. Joshua didn't know how many years of fighting he had ahead of him, but it turned out to be about 5 years of constant fighting was ahead of Joshua. 5 years of war was ahead of him. What do you think God did for Joshua? Did he give him a spear and say, with this spear, you shall conquer them? Did he give him a sword and say, this is the sword, pick up this sword? No, what did he do with Joshua? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, he said this. He gave him a verse. He gave him a verse from script. He spoke to him. He says, this book, this is what he told Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. What did he give to Joshua to give him victory? 5 years of battle ahead of him to take that land from the Canaanites? What did he do? He gave him scripture. He gave him a testimony. He says, this book of the law, this book that Moses wrote, these five books, the Torah, he says, I give you this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. This is what I give you. This is what I give you. I give you the Word of God. Make this your daily meditation. This is a very sad portion in Isaiah 48. He says in Isaiah chapter 48, he says, verse 17, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commandments. If only you had done this. If only you had done this. What I put before you today is life and death. If only you will do this, you will make your way successful. How many times do we have to be told, if only you will do this? What if you knew? What if you knew that somebody put before you something that would guarantee you profit in your life, that would guarantee you something much richer than money, that would guarantee you something beyond what you could ever ask or think, as the scriptures put it? This is what I put before you today. Will you take this word of God and make it your meditation? What did he give Joshua? He gave him scripture. He says, this is what I have for you. You take this book, you make it your daily meditation. Look what he says. It shall not depart from your mouth. You constantly speak this. You speak this to yourself. You speak to your own soul. You preach to yourself. I preach to myself all the time, because our minds are always working. And if you're not speaking the Word of God into it, you know what it does? It takes your fears and it recites it. It goes into auto loop over and over again, your fears. It takes some failure from your life and you just relive this over and over again. And it accentuates things. It makes it far worse than anything that ever was. You say to people, remember I did such and such a thing? And they're like, I don't even know what you're talking. I don't even remember. You're like, what? It was so embarrassing what I did. I don't even remember it, your neighbor says. I don't even remember what you're talking about. And because this has been accentuated in your own mind. Your mind is always speaking to you. So I urge you to fill it with scripture. Urge you to fill it with scripture. He gave him this book of the law, and he filled his mind with it. When I was baptized, you know what many people get on their baptism? They get a baptism certificate that says you've been baptized. I never got a certificate. I was baptized by a man named Brother Bhakt Singh and T.E. Koshi. These are great men from India. And Brother Bhakt Singh gave me a verse. Isaiah 41:10, he gave me a verse and that became life to me. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I needed this verse. It says, do not fear, for I am with you. Because I was always so fearful. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I can get neurotic sometimes, you know, thinking about all the stuff that I have to do. He says, do not anxiously look about. And I would just recite this over and over again. I would speak it out loud in my own time, all alone. I'm just speaking this out loud to myself. I'd recite this in my mind. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I'd say, Lord, you said you'd strengthen me. Strengthen me for today. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I will just imagine God upholding me with his hands. Over and over again. This took me. This verse, Isaiah 41:10. I meditated on this over and over again. When I was an undergraduate, over and over again, when I was a graduate student, when I was a young assistant professor, and to this day, I still do it. I recite this in my mind. The battle is in my mind.
Because of you, millions of people have heard the gospel.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead, and you will be saved.
That's right.
That's the requirement.
We talk about science concepts which draw people in.
Take these nanomachines and have them drill into cells.
This would be a great way to kill cancer, right?
We also talk about Jesus Christ, who's the best in everything.
My faith in Jesus Christ means more to me than anything.
If you could continue to give or give for the first time, we would certainly appreciate it.
You can go to jesusandscience.org/donate. All U.S. donations are tax deductible. Thank you so much.
You look in Psalm chapter 42 and chapter 43. This same portion is recited three times in the book of Psalms. You think God wants us to take note of this? Twice in chapter 42, once in 43. It says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. The psalmist is speaking to himself, speaking to his own soul. You think that, I'm above that. Yeah, you're above that. You got other things speaking in your mind. Your mind is never dormant. Your mind is always speaking to you. It's always speaking to you. And if you do not fill it with the truth of God, it is going to get filled with all sorts of trash from this world. And you're going to recite all over and over and over again your failures, your pains, and you're going to say, I'm no good, I'm ugly, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not sure. And it's just going to start looping through your mind. You take this word, look what the psalmist does. He says, why are you in despair, O my soul? He is speaking to his own soul. What's troubling you? Why are you in despair? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. This is in Psalm 42, verse 5. It is repeated again. It is repeated again in Psalm 42, verse 11. It is repeated again in Psalm 43, verse 5. Over and over again, it's repeated. You think God wants us to take hold of this? He wants us to start speaking to our soul. You take scripture and you speak it in there. Take a scripture verse and you speak it in there. This pattern is shown all over again. Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not of none of his benefits. Look what the psalmist is doing. He is speaking to his own soul. He says, let me forget none of my benefits. You got a chair you're sitting on. Did you pay for that chair? No, you didn't. Somebody else did. You are blessed to have a chair. You go to other countries, you're sitting on the ground. And if you sat on the ground here, it's a pretty clean floor. But most other countries, you're sitting on a dirt floor. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Everywhere you look in your little room, in your little apartment, you can give thanks for every little thing you have. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He says, and forget none of his benefits. Look what he's doing. He's speaking to his own soul. And he's tracking this in his own mind, in his own soul. This is what he's doing over and over again. Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. He is speaking to his own soul to do this. You say, well, you know, we're beyond that. Well, look in Philippians. In Philippians, it says this. Philippians chapter 4. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says this. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. You take the things that are good and you dwell on them. You dwell on them. You take the word of God and you dwell on it. This is what we are told to do. We're told to dwell on it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of this earth. If you set them on the things of this earth, constantly you'll be walking in defeat. You set your mind on the things above and not on the things of this earth. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, where you take a song and you just, you know, I never sing in public. I'll sing if I'm in church and nobody can hear me, because it's just painful. It's just painful. But I'll sing when I'm alone. First thing I do when I wake up in the morning, I sing to the Lord. I have a few songs. I just sing to Jesus. I sing to the Lord. And what does it do? He says, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You make melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking into your own self, you make melody in your heart to the Lord. That is what we are commanded to do. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. You strengthen your inner man. You strengthen your inner self. Remember, your mind is always speaking, always speaking. You start walking out of here today, your mind is going to be speaking to you. It's going to be speaking to you. You have a choice now. You have a choice to take his word and to fill your mind with his word, because the battle is always first in the mind. If we constantly recount our past, we would be devastated. Paul persecuted the church. Paul was there and he helped and he encouraged on and he egged on these people that were stoning Stephen, the first martyr. He had Christians dragged away from their children and thrown into prisons. This was Paul. But Paul said, this one thing I do, I never look back. If Paul had dwelt, I was just so bad. Oh, I can't even get up this morning because I was just so bad. You know, if anybody, Paul, it says, was the worst sinner. I know you may think that you are the worst sinner. You are not. Maybe you're the second worst, but you're not the worst. The Bible says Paul was the worst sinner. And Paul said, I never look back. I never look back, but I press on toward the upward call of Christ. I never look back. If you constantly allow your mind to look back and all your failures, it will constantly pull you down, and you're doing exactly what Satan wants you to do. And he will try to remind you of that over and over again. What did Jesus do when he was confronted by Satan in Matthew chapter 4? What did he do? He quoted the word to him. Satan came to him, Jesus quoted the word. Satan came to him again, Jesus quoted the word. Satan came to him again, Jesus quoted the word, and Satan took off. Three times of quoting the word, and Satan couldn't take it anymore. You know what happens when Satan comes to us? We entertain a thought. Oh, that's an interesting thought, Satan. You know, I never quite thought of that. And then we think we're going to get all spiritual and apologetic. That we have these great little systems of apologetics where we're going to somehow outsmart Satan. Put that away. Put that away and take the word of God and start quoting it like Jesus did. Jesus didn't use apologetics. Jesus used the word of God, and that gave him victory over the devil. You take this word, and I urge you to take this word and make it your meditation. Just take a scripture verse and start memorizing it. Memorize it. Repeat this thing over and over again and think about what you are memorizing and make this a part of your life. Because what happens is, at your young age, you have this ability. You don't know it, but you have this ability to memorize in a way that you will retain this for a long, long time. Your ability to memorize is much greater when you are younger. This is why I encourage you to take passages of Scripture and make it your daily meditation. I've taken whole chapters and made them my meditation when I was young. I can still recall to this day so many of those verses just come flooding back into me when situations come. This is what you have to do. You have to train your mind to walk with Him. God is teaching us, and He says, don't let this be your cry that if only you had paid attention. No, you pay attention now, take hold of this, and walk with God in victory. Let's pray. Abba, my Father, I pray that You would take these young people and let them be strong in the Spirit. Father, I pray that as they go through trial, as they go through things in their lives, Father, that they would learn to train their minds and they would be courageous because of Your word, because of Your word, that they would be courageous. Lord, get hold of their minds, I pray. And Father, I pray that no matter what their past, their future would be great. Do a great thing through their lives, I pray. Father, I pray that You would take the unbelievers who hear a word like this and don't know what to do with it. Father, I pray that the souls could be saved, because once they're saved, all will be well. They can begin to comprehend what I've spoken. Father, I pray that You would save a soul, that my own eyes would see a soul saved today. And Father, for the glory of Jesus, I offer this to You. Amen.
Thank you for joining me today. If you could give us a like, share, or podcast review, we would appreciate it. If you have any questions, you could send them to ask@jesusandscience.org, and we'll try to answer some of those questions in an upcoming video. And if you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you want to hear about why I believe, send me an email to tour@drjamestour.org, and we'll get together by Zoom, and I'll share with you why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus Christ.